Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, February 15, 2017. A new confidential UN report says the conflict in South Sudan is getting out of control.
The army is doing its best to ensure that it protects the civilians. Whatever is meant by the militia that are out of control, I don't understand. You know, this is a language which is completely disparaging and is even demeaning the sovereignty of the country.
And a UN special envoy appeals for peace in South Sudan.
People have forgotten the excitement of when this became a nation, which wasn't very long ago. And I think people have to reform their identity as one nation and as cousins and brothers and sisters in this nation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government says its military continues to act professionally in accordance with the rules of engagement as it fights to protect the country against rebels who it says are killing civilians indiscriminately. This comes as the French news agency cited a confidential UN report which says the war in South Sudan has reached, quote, catastrophic proportions for civilians, end quote. The report says the rise of militias under loose command of SPLA or rebel commanders is spreading fragmentation across the country. President Kiir's spokesman, Atenywe Katenge, says there are no SPLA militia and that the use of such language is demeaning to the country's army.
First of all, I don't understand what the reports mean by militias that are out of control. What I do know is the fact that there are a number of rebels that are actually determined to fight the government through killing civilians indiscriminately. There are no militias that should be out of control. We have the army, which is national army, and we have those on the forest who are actually killing the civilians. But the army is doing its best to ensure that it protects the civilian. Whatever is meant by the militia that are out of control, I don't understand. You know, this is a language which is completely disparaging and is even demeaning the sovereignty of the country.
It says that the rise of militias under the loose command of the SPLA, that's the National Army. So this is assuming that there's some militias or some aspects of your army that is loose, that is carrying out some violence.
Well, it's complete rubbish. It's complete rubbish in the fact that the SPLA is doing its best as an army of the nation, like any army in all the other nations. But because certain sectors of the international community have started to disrespect the people of South Sudan and disrespect the sovereignty of the Republic of South Sudan, they would want to use the name militia to describe the army that has liberated this country. The same army that liberated South Sudan is the same army which is still in operation. By calling them a militia is a disparaging, and I would want those who have written this report to withdraw the word militia.
What is your government doing to stop the fighting that is going on in South Sudan?
The government has given clearly the indication that without implementing the peace agreement or the solution of conflict in the Republic of South Sudan, South Sudan will be in a constant war. We saw the agreement as a material that would actually return the country to normalcy. Therefore, we decided, you know, faithfully to implement it, the peace agreement. The situation has improved, you know, significantly, but our country has been betrayed by the fact that there are people who write such reports, you know, so that they scare off those who would be actually helping the government of South Sudan to conclude the peaceful conclusion to the problem.
What do you have to say, for example, to what some people are saying is a continued harassment of activists or critics of the government, yet at the same time, your government is talking about national dialogue?
I don't understand what they would actually mean about harassment of activists, if at all there is anything of such kind. But to be honest with you, South Sudan remains as one of the countries in which freedom of expression has been allowed. And those who call themselves activists, you know, might have been rampant in the way they criticize the government of South Sudan, even when they are inside the government control area.
The UN Secretary General is asking the Security Council to act so that political talks will be revived. The last time I was speaking to someone in your government, someone told me that the international community says that Riek Machar, if he ever want to come back, he should come back during the election. Is that the view of your government? And if that is true, how can fighting stop? And how can any talks take place? How can any dialogue take place?
Concerning those who say that Riek Machar should come back to South Sudan in 2018 to run the election, they are missing some points. One fundamental point is that Riek Machar can only return to South Sudan when he renounces violence. If he has not renounced violence, then he cannot come to South Sudan, just only to run the election. We cannot put our citizens in a limbo again by allowing such a warlord, to come back to South Sudan to run for political post of any kind, just to return to violence when he loses the election. Because I don't think the people of South Sudan have the stomach of voting for Riek Machar in any post as a political leader in the country.
That was President Kiir's spokesman, Ateny Wek Ateny, speaking to VOA's James Batty from Juba yesterday. County leaders at Lokiliri are calling on Jubek state officials to investigate multiple cases of rape allegedly carried out by some members of the South Sudan Army in Kubi village, 15 kilometers on the Juba-Nimule road last weekend. Lokiliri County Commissioner George Ladu says soldiers from the 3rd Brigade of the SPLS Division 9 raped a number of women and girls on Sunday. Six of the victims who were hospitalized say they were raped at gunpoint. Tito Justin has more for VOA from Juba.
Local leaders say the soldiers were recently deployed to the area after last week's murder of an army general by unknown gunmen. The bishop of the Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan, Paul Yugusuk, says two girls aged 12 and 15 and several women were raped after SPLS soldiers entered the village on Sunday. Six girls and women who were raped were treated at Juba Teaching Hospital, while others remain at large in nearby bushes where Bishop Yugusuk says they are hiding for their safety. One of the rape victims, a 15-year-old girl whose first name is Nancy, recovered at Juba Teaching Hospital. Nancy says the soldiers entered the village about 9 o'clock Sunday morning and started shooting at random to scare residents of the area. Speaking Arabic, she says two soldiers threatened and harassed her before they took turns raping her.
I told them to stop what they were doing, but one of them said, if I resist, he will shoot me. I began to cry and he pointed a gun at me. He ordered me to lie down and the two of them raped me. They said if anyone comes to rescue me, they will shoot that person. One soldier was outside while the other raped me in the house. After he raped me, he called his friends who also came and raped me.
A 13-year-old girl in Kubi village says a soldier gave her money after raping her on gunpoint. Speaking Arabic, she says a soldier told her before raping her that her life was not any more important than the lives of soldiers killed in ambushes along the Juba-Nimule road.
He said, we are lucky that they are only raping us and leaving us alive. He then raped me and gave me money. He said, take this money, it will help you. I said, you are giving me money? He said, if you refuse the money, he will beat me. I got the money and threw it in the house.
A widow and mother of six in Kubi village says she too was raped by the soldiers. Speaking Arabic, she says the soldiers threatened to kill her if she cried for help.
He said, you have husband? Your husband is not there? You people are the ones killing us in the nation. I said, father, I don't have husband. My husband died. He said, no, you are the ones killing us on this road. He said he will rape me. And if there is somebody, I will kill you with your child. He threatened me with my child in my house. And then he raped me.
The victims were discharged from Juba Teaching Hospital earlier today. Bishop Yugusuk says three people wounded during the attack, including a mother and baby, are now admitted at Juba Teaching Hospital. For the past 2 days, soldiers blocked the wounded from being taken to hospital. Lokiliri County Commissioner George Ladu confirmed the rape cases. He says the attack caused about 3,000 residents to flee into the bush in fear.
We have raised the issue to the high authorities, call it to the legal channel. I, as the person in charge of the area, I think nothing more will take place. We'll call our people's home and then let the law take its course.
Bishop Yogusuk condemned the soldiers for what the bishop calls brutal and criminal acts on defenseless women and children.
We are very sorry for what had happened in the eyes of our own army, our own protector. He's now turned against civilians, raping them, beating them, detaining them, and doing all sorts of human rights abuses to our community, which is absolutely innocent.
Bishop Yogusuk says he met the military commander in the area, First Lieutenant James Nyikur, in the presence of the women and some of the soldiers. He says even though the women were able to identify some of the attackers, the commander allegedly failed to take immediate action and apprehend the suspected soldiers. County Commissioner Ladu and Bishop Yogusuk say the soldiers arrested dozens of youth from the area but later released them. Both men say four of the youth are still missing. Commissioner Ladu and Bishop Yogusuk are calling on state authorities to arrest the alleged rapist.
We need intervention of the Jubek state, the intervention of the government, the intervention of the UN and UN agency. They should move to the place because people are in the bush. We don't know now what is their situation. How can they come back?
SPLA military spokesman Brigadier Lulu Rai Kong says the army leadership has received the reports that some SPLA soldiers committed crimes and says those military leaders take the allegation seriously.
They had formed an investigation committee. The committee will travel to the area where the alleged rape took place, and the intention is to do their investigation, identify the culprit, and bring them to book. They shall be charged according to SPLA Act 2009 rules and regulations.
A month ago, the United Nations mission in South Sudan reported it recorded more than 200 rape cases between July 2016 and January 2017. The report calls on the government to ensure that perpetrators of sexual violence are held accountable for their actions, to carry out justice for the victims, and to provide a strong deterrent so that South Sudanese men do not commit rape. Last week, President Salva Kiir ordered military officials to kill any soldier who sexually assaults women or girls. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
South Sudanese civil society activists say next month's national dialogue gives them a chance to play a key role in shaping the country's future. Representatives of more than 40 civil society groups met in Juba today to prepare for the national dialogue. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
Today's meeting was sponsored by SUCCESS, or Systems to Uphold the Credibility and Constitutionality of Elections in South Sudan, a project created by the American NGO Democracy International. Morgan Simpson, a civic engagement director at SUCCESS, says it's high time civil society leaders directly engage with government officials on behalf of the people of South Sudan.
This is a very important moment for civil society to take the opportunity to engage with the government and try to influence the national dialogue in a way that is as productive as possible.
The SET Institute, Ebony Center for Strategic Studies, the University of Juba Center for Peace and Development Studies, the South Sudan Council of Churches, and the Islamic Council make up the secretariat President Kiir appointed to coordinate the national dialogue. SET Institute policy analyst Abraham Awalich says civil society groups will be doing the heavy lifting during the consultations.
They are actually stakeholder in the national dialogue itself because they will bring the voices of different people that may not be able to come to the table. They are also people who get things done at the community level.
Betty Oboy is Commissioner for South Sudan Peace Commission, a government-appointed body that oversees and advises on peace-related matters. Oboy says the government needs civil society groups to build trust in the national dialogue process.
Without civil society, nothing will go well because our people are already polarized. You know, they are politicized. They have different ways of thinking. If we put our weight as a government that we are the one going to mobilize the people, You know, they will say, oh, these are the government. They have come again with their stories.
Rajab Mohandis is executive director of the South Sudanese Network for Democracy and Elections. Mohandis says civil society leaders are trying to ensure that the national dialogue will not end up like the talks which led to the 2015 peace deal.
In the peace negotiations, the negotiations were mainly among political parties. It was elite-based political negotiations, and the civil society, in most cases, were kind of pushed aside. And to some extent, some people became partisan. Some members of the civil society became partisan, and they followed the interests of the political forces. So we see the national dialogue as one process that we can contribute to. So we first want to understand it in depth, and then design our strategies as the civil society on how we can contribute to this process.
Mohandis says civil society activists will demand transparency in the national dialogue process.
The civil society, all stakeholders should be granted the space to be able to effectively engage. And the president mentioned this in his speech, and we will follow this closely and see that definitely they hold up to that. Otherwise, if the space is not created for us to dialogue, to be able to inform citizens about this process, it will not be an inclusive process that will be genuine.
And Mohandis says the media must be allowed to speak to citizens and bring their voices to the secretariat if the national dialogue is going to be successful. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at the black market in Juba. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's your favorite day of the week and why?
Friday, like that 10 minutes before work closes, yeah, that's my best time. Because now when after work, now you realize that, yeah, minutes are going and Monday will soon be here. That's when now you start counting.
My favorite day of the week, I'll choose a Saturday because I get to meet most of my friends and then we sit down, we talk and laugh also.
Sunday, because I go to church, I meet friends, some whom maybe may not meet up throughout the week. I meet with them, we chat.
My favorite day of the week is Friday because that leads to the weekend. At least I get a chance to relax. I'm off from work and I'm able to do my own thing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. UNESCO's Special Envoy for the Development of Peace and Reconciliation in Areas of Conflict is calling on South Sudan's warring parties to end the fighting and implement the 2015 peace agreement. Hollywood actor Forrest Whitaker says South Sudanese leaders must find common ground and work together to develop the country. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
Forrest Whitaker left Juba yesterday after a two-day visit to meet with the staff of the Whitaker Peace and Development Initiative in the capital. Whitaker told South Sudan in Focus that although the international community plays a big role in providing humanitarian assistance to thousands of people affected by the ongoing conflict, the solution to ending the fighting lies with the South Sudanese people.
There's a lot of livelihood issues that are going on that do need help from the outside to make sure that everyone is fed, that everyone has water, that everyone has shelter. But ultimately, it's the people of the South Sudan who are going to find the solution, who are going to live the solution. This is their nation, and I believe strongly that they will find the way to allow them to have the South Sudan that they created.
Whitaker warns unless South Sudanese steer clear of hate speech, the country will continue to be divided along ethnic lines and the violence will continue.
We have to be able to look at the other individual and see ourselves in them. To be able to look at them and say, if I were walking in their shoes, and to recognize them as human beings and understand their lives, so that then there is created an empathy and also a community. Connection between individuals, understanding that we are very similar. Whether we're from different tribes, we are in this together. We are one family as South Sudan, and as a family, we have had our problems, but we can correct them.
Whitaker appealed to South Sudan's leaders to involve the youth in ending the conflict. He notes that people under 30 make up 70% of the country's population. As South Sudanese prepare for a national dialogue, Whitaker says the country's leaders should engage the nation's young people in peace building.
It's all about trying to find some form of common ground so that we can work from there, so we can build a country. I think a lot of the youth, you know, our people have forgotten the excitement of when this became a nation, which wasn't very long ago. And I think people have to reform their identity as one nation and as cousins and brothers and sisters in this nation in order to be able to find true peace or a lasting peace.
Whitaker says the dialogue should involve everyone, including women.
I'm hopeful that there will be an inclusive process that has mechanisms that allow people to be able to come together on certain issues and help move forward the conversation, help move forward the movement towards peace.
The Whitaker Peace and Development Initiative works to empower youth in South Sudan's IDP camps through sports and income-generating activities. The initiative also trains South Sudanese youth in entrepreneurship skills. In 2007, Whitaker was awarded Best Actor in Support of Peace Building in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Residents of Tonj municipality say they welcome next month's national dialogue, but some of the residents are also afraid that the exercise may not be inclusive. Santino Manut has more for VOA from Tonj.
Many Tonj residents are welcoming the proposed national dialogue, saying it is long overdue. Resident Simon Agemiri says the world is watching South Sudan, and it is time that its leaders work with citizens to end the violence and put its house in order.
Everybody, every nation is asking what's wrong with South Sudan.
Makweng Manyel, another resident of Tony, says in order for dialogue to succeed, South Sudanese must first accept each other as people of one united country.
I would like also our leaders to reconcile and work together for the welfare of their people.
Manyel says participants in such a dialogue must be allowed to recommend ways of ending widespread human rights violations across South Sudan and how to move the country forward. Abundu Bol is the chairperson of Tonya State Youth Union. He says he does not think a national dialogue will resolve all problems facing South Sudan, including the out-of-control number of illegal guns in society.
The challenges that I foresee in the upcoming national dialogue are that youth or rebels are still having guns in their hands. So this will cause constraints to the preaching of the national dialogue in some places.
Tonj resident Cherilo Choldut says unless the dialogue is inclusive, it will fail to achieve its intended objectives.
It needs the intellectual to be there, government to be there, church leaders to be there, youth leaders to be there, community leaders and women leaders also, they need to be there.
Dude says South Sudanese must reject messages from leaders who try to divide them along ethnic lines, adding such leaders are working for their own selfish interests. Mashkil Malok is a student at the Bor-based John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology. He says he wants participants at the proposed national dialogue to address ethnically targeted killings in parts of the country.
Why are the tribes targeting themselves? Is it because of power? Is it because the youth are incited to kill other youths from the other tribes? Or is it because of economic?
Malok says the perpetrators of targeted killings must be held accountable so that communities can reconcile and begin to trust each other. Speaking in Arabic, Tony resident Margaret Gaetano believes the dialogue should be led by South Sudanese only, not foreigners.
I hope this national dialogue happens because if we sit down as South Sudanese, we will be able to solve our problems by ourselves, or we will be able to evaluate ourselves and see the destruction that we have done and persuade ourselves not to do the same damage again.
President Salva Kiir told residents of Yei Town this week that the national dialogue will be inclusive and will start in early March and continue for 4 months. The exercise is expected to begin with consultations at the grassroots level. For VOA News, I am Santino Manute Ayuelintoy.
Authorities in Jubek State say it's difficult to implement a recent order banning the sale of foreign currencies and fuel on the black market. Jubek State Governor Agustino Jadala banned the sale of dollars and fuel on the black market, yet fuel dealers and money changers continue to operate. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Juba.
Juba Mayor Stephen Wani Michael says he said security operatives are not equipped to crack down on black market dealers in Juba, so the Juba City Council may recruit its own police force to maintain security and order in the town.
Because of the situation, sometimes law enforcement is very weak. That's why sometimes you see so many orders are issued but implemented a problem. So now we as a city council, we are trying to develop our own police so that they can be able to implement the policies of the city council.
Wani says he said and Juba city officials believe ending the sale of foreign exchange and fuel in the black market will help restore South Sudan's economy. He says if people need to buy or sell dollars, they should go to the central bank. Juba resident Gisma Hussein opposes the ban. She says she normally buys dollars from the black market to support her two daughters who are studying at university in neighboring Sudan. Speaking in Arabic, Hussein says she worries that if the ban is enforced, she won't be able to buy dollars again.
If the government fighting the available dollars in black markets and they don't have alternative cash in the central bank, what are we going to do? These people cannot stop their business. Meanwhile, there is no hard currency in the central bank. How are they going to solve this problem? How are businessmen and women going to export things from abroad?
Joe Peter Bandas, another Juba resident, agrees. Bandas says as long as the commercial banks in Juba cannot sell foreign currency, especially US dollars, money changers on the black market remain the only option.
Sometimes you find people that are going through emergencies. They went to get hard currency in order to take their family members for treatment outside the country. Or they went to send money for their children who are outside studying. So it will be very difficult for them if this black market is closed.
A South Sudanese trader operating in Juba's Konyo Konyo market, who prefers to be identified only as Hakim, says he has been importing food from neighboring Uganda and Kenya for the past 5 years. He says he has tried in vain to buy foreign currency from Juba's commercial banks.
First of all, you have to go and write up applications. It should go to the manager, and sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days. And even if the paper is approved, in order to get the money, they will tell you that the money is finished.
Mayor Wani insists Juba residents should help authorities eliminate the black market rather than support it.
These young people, whom most of them, they don't speak nor English or Arabic, they used to steal people even. You go with your dollars, then within a short time you're given a fake dollar. They are very, very smart.
Our attempts to reach black market dealers willing to speak about the ban were unsuccessful. Fuel sellers also declined to comment given the sensitive nature of this story. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
That's our show for this Wednesday. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for joining us, and remember to be with us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.